Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Cop-out. How governments have failed the people on climate. Most people tend to sort of turn away from the key existential issue of the day, climate change, or some would say more accurately, climate collapse. Nick Breeze tells an engaging, very human story of successive COP conferences over the past decade. A tale of imperfection, failure even, but not yet defeat. Delighted to say that joining us live on the line is Nick himself. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. Thank you for inviting me on.
Pleasure's all mine. Before we get going, climate change is a thing because I do a Tuesday morning a phone-in show, and there's a certain section who believe that there isn't such a thing as climate change, and this is all sort of wokeness.
Well, over the last, 30 years, in the 1980s, the scientists really started picking up the signal of the vast amounts of carbon dioxide that we're pumping into the air every year. At the moment, it's about 40 billion tons a year. And this is acting like a blanket around the planet. It's changing the systems of how water is shipped around and everything else. So you're getting extreme droughts, extreme rainfall. So the signal is very clear. The science has been robust. It's never been disproven. Although there's a lot of misinformation out there, the science is absolutely spot on. So, I mean, that's a given.
And so the COP conferences, just explain a little bit about, was it 92 in Rio, the first one was?
Well, that was when the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change was created. And that was all the nations of the world saying, okay, we acknowledge the science, now we're going to try and do something about it. And the first speech given at the Rio Earth Summit by Roy, I can't remember his name, he was the head of the UN at the time, he made it very clear that if we didn't do something about this, our sort of chances of survival in this century could become terminal. And then every single COP that's come after since then, we're at COP 28 last December, so 28 years, emissions have continued to rise, the speeches have got better, but they haven't actually achieved anything as a sort of conference, if you like.
I mean, you could almost say this is, for the cynical, this is almost climate virtue signaling. You know, we're going to do something about this climate change. We're going to have all these meetings, but year after year, nothing seems to really be enforced, enacted. We don't seem to be. You can make all the grandiose speeches that you like, but the temperature's still going up, and we're still seeing more extreme weather conditions.
Well, I think the big problem is that all the countries that have the most power in these talks, which are countries like the US, the UK, Canada, Norway, you can take Australia, you can take the OPEC countries, they actually are continuing to expand fossil fuel production. And fossil fuels, the burning of fossil fuels, is the root cause of the problem. And if we had started to do something about this in the 90s, when we actually knew that it was happening, we could have incrementally changed our society at the structural level without too much pain for anybody. But we didn't. We buried the problem and we carried on with the sort of fossil fuel economy. And that's why now, when we really do need to change and we're feeling the impacts, it's actually a very difficult thing to do.
Isn't this a problem, though, as well, because of the emerging economies, the emerging superpowers, India, your African nations, China, obviously, they want to become industrialized. They are going to be using the resources they can do. And a lot of those resources are burning fossil fuels. And they will say, well, you're a bunch of imperialists, you're a bunch of colonialists, and you're just saying, okay, it's okay for us now because we've basically raped the planet for our own needs. It's unfair and unjust to try and to put the demands on us, and we're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Because we've used fossil fuels to advance our economies, to increase our standard of living and so on and so forth. But now it's really incumbent upon us in the countries where we have benefited so much is to pass on the clean technology to those emerging economies to help them leapfrog the dirty stuff that we've thrived on. It's a bit like telephones. You don't see the old school telephones in Africa these days. Everyone's carrying a mobile phone. So we need to enable those countries to leapfrog. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if we decarbonize because their emissions are going to be so great, the problem just gets worse anyway.
You've attended these COP conferences and summits. Here's a question. What are they actually like? Is it a lot of people being strutting around, you know, having little meetings on the side, you know, scribbling notes? Yes, we must get together and do something about this. I mean, what are the nuts? Because we all, you know, I mean, Greta notwithstanding, who pops up, you know, like, because it wouldn't be a conference without Greta. But the grandiose speech and something must be done, but we're not sure what. What are the actual nuts and bolts? Because I don't think most of the public actually know what goes on.
Well, this is something I actually do break down in the book because it's like a circus. It is absolutely mental inside. You walk through the pavilions and at 10 o'clock in the morning, you can do a couple of shots of some strange drink from a strange country because they're having some sort of celebration. You walk around the corner and you might see, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger parading around. You walk around the next corner and you'll see politicians. You'll see Bloomberg on stage talking about the American economy. You know, it's a complete overload of your senses. In the evening on the pavilions, there's usually parties spread out around the place. And it is a circus. It used to be every 5 years. So Paris, COP21 was a mega COP. Mm. Glasgow was a mega COP. And the ones in between were these sort of COPs that weren't mega COPs. They were just there to get stuff done before the next mega COP. But now every year is a mega COP. They've turned into these great big trade shows. And I've got some mixed feelings about it because it does draw more attention to the issue and a lot of people turn up to show off their technology. But at the same time, the actual purpose of the COP to bring down emissions is not just not being done. It's actually going the opposite way. In the last COP, the CEO of the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company was the president of the COP, who also said he was going to expand oil and gas production by 7 billion barrels, despite somehow managing to bring down emissions. I mean, these are sort of these incompatible objectives. And next year it's the same sort of thing in Azerbaijan. So we're never really going to achieve these objectives. That's why the book's called Cop Out. And, you know, America is expanding production. UK is expanding production. We're all doing it. And, you know, it's a terrible thing when you see what the impact is having on the environment that we're trying to survive in.
And of course, people are flying in on private jets and, you know, they're putting these pavilions up. And so therefore they are increasing the carbon emissions because of the way they're doing it. You've had, rather than doing it all virtually, which we would probably think they should do. So yes, it is a little bit twisted, isn't it? So I mentioned the G word, the Greta word, a little bit earlier. And, you know, if you want something that's going to be a polemic and shake the stick, she is that. And obviously we have had, and I grip my microphone as I say these words, Extinction Rebellion and Just Stop Oil, beloved of art galleries and theatre performances everywhere, and not to mention anybody on the M25. These people, I mean, you know, my daily mail readership are throwing their hands in the air and throwing, you know, their copies at the wall right now. Do they have a point? Is this the action that people should be taking? Because at the moment, as Cop Out says, there doesn't seem to be an awful lot actually happening, Nick.
Well, the youth really notably turned up at the COP in 2017. In 2018, Greta turned up at the COP. At 2019 in Madrid, the youth were everywhere. It was like every youth was sort of a mini Michael Jackson running around. And it was a notable change in how it was all running. You step outside into what you're talking about then with Extinction Rebellion and Just Stop Oil. I mean, their objective was to get noticed, to get onto the mainstream news, and I think they've achieved it. In terms of going forward, I think we need a more widespread response. We need more moderate people to say, well, how can we now change structural policy, which benefits us all in the long run? I mean, I think the shock factor of throwing some soup on a Van Gogh painting, you can only really do it once. I think once you see, you know, it was quite shocking. But I don't think it's necessarily the way we need to keep going forward now, no.
It's good. It's great that the young people are getting involved. And, you know, as somebody who has got teenage goddaughters, you know, they are very much turned on environmentally, and social media is a great thing for that and getting the message across. But are we going to be able, and when you are youthful, he said, stroking his grey beard, you are full of idealism, you know, and you want to stop nuclear power. Unfortunately, it looks like nuclear power may be one of the options we have to take. But you get involved with politics. You want to make a better world. It's one of the great things about being a young person. But how do we translate that into action? And are we on? I mean, we get warnings that we are now past the tipping point. So, Nick, what's you know, as the Jesuits to say, "Give me the child, and I'll give you the man." How do we get to have environmentally? How does the environmental message continue?
It's extremely difficult. Because now we're past the point where we can really avoid really bad impacts. They're starting. I'm actually in Galicia in northwest Spain at the moment, and I've been going out with the researchers down the coast. The heating Atlantic is killing off all the sea life down here, and I've been going around looking at it. The mussels beds have all been wiped out. And this is impacting the local communities because these are fishing communities. And you're starting to see these interactions. It doesn't matter where you go. You can go to northern Italy where the snowpack from the Alps is reduced. It's not feeding the groundwater anymore, and that's impacting agriculture and so on and so on. And you go around the world, and soon there's not going to be any communities who aren't touched by this. So how do we respond? Well, we have to make this a voting issue, and we need a large dose of honesty about what's really happening and how it's going to impact us, because we're on the road to really severe food shocks, which are going to be felt. Doesn't matter where you are, if you're in the UK or if you're in Europe, you're going to be impacted by spikes in prices. You saw olive oil in Spain last summer. These are all things that we've got to try and articulate. And I think, you know, the media has done a pretty awful job in the mainstream, but it's getting better. And I think that's, again, it's a bit what Cop-Out's about. It's not a technical book. It's not a book about hundreds of science papers. It's actually about coming with me on the road to sit in on some of these interviews and hear over a glass of wine in a tapas bar how it all unfolds. And I think there's a lot of rational stuff in it in terms of how we can change and how we can actually make this a voting issue.
But as you know, every great disaster movie, Nick, starts with, yeah, scientists having a thought and coming up with it and trying to get out there and nobody listening to it. And the mayor, I'm just thinking Jaws as well. You know, the mayor not listening, and we all know what happens in Jaws. There's a large shark on the beach. So how can we get that message across to, you know, the large shark, which is basically on, you know, heading towards us, which is environmental chaos. And, you know, you're in Spain, I'm in Spain. We've seen extreme weather conditions. We've got a drought going on, especially down here. I'm down on the Mediterranean coast and we have drought conditions. You can't even fill your private pool, Nick. That's how bad it is. I tell you, who thought it would get that? No, but joking aside, we're seeing this in day-to-day stuff. We're getting warmest winter on record down here.
Well, at the last COP, one of the good things that there was a report launched, which was all about water. And it was to say that all the problems are to do with too much, too little, in the wrong place, so on and so forth. And that's one of the things that all of us need to become a bit more articulate in, of how valuable water is to absolutely every single part of our lives. And when you start looking at it like that, you're depoliticizing it. The problem with climate change is it's been lumped in with a whole load of politics, which are usually not even relevant. It's just, it's a good way to frame an argument and divide people. And really, we all need water. We all need food. We all need a world to hand over to our kids and nephews and nieces and so on. So water, looking at how we manage our resources, all of them, how we make more resilience to agriculture, to food. So we all have a sort of bit of skin in the game on this one. And I think depoliticizing it, taking an active interest in adaptation, how are we all vulnerable? And you can start to see vulnerabilities. You know, it starts with the swimming pool, but it might be the fact that you've got no grass, no other vegetation around you because there's no water or so on. And if that makes sense.
I suppose the other argument is what people are saying, oh yeah, but you know, there am I putting everything in the yellow bins, the green bins, or whatever greens. In the meantime, you know, Beijing is pumping pollution into the air, but every journey starts with a single step, Nick.
Yeah, I think we have to. I mean, we talk about China. Yeah, they are a colossal emitter of carbon, but they are also, they've putting in more renewables in sort of 1 year than most of us have done in our entire sort of lifespan. So their rate of change is pretty massive because they've got to stave off revolution, I suppose, because if they don't, they're going to have their own internal problems. So it is incumbent upon all of us to do our bit. I think, you know, recycling is just the tiny bit of it. It comes down to things like flying less, eating less red meat. It means, you know, trying to cut down overall consumption. But yeah, it's obviously difficult if everyone around you is just doing business as usual.
Who are the good guys in this one, Nick? Who should we be following? Who should we be taking notice of? Who should we be following and supporting on our feeds, on our socials, or even, you know, going to see them speak?
Oof. Well, I have a podcast where I interview lots of scientists. You can, Climate Gen is a podcast. It basically interviews scientists, but it's more in depth. So otherwise, you can follow people like Fridays for Future. There are loads of scientists like Catherine Hayhoe in the US or Kevin Anderson in the UK who regularly comment on things in real time. So there are lots of people out there. There's groups of scientists. There's the Climate Majority Project in the UK that's just launched, which aims to appeal to people who just have a sort of quiet anxiety about these things.
And I mean, again, I suppose the main thing is recognizing this. I mean, whenever I see a headline in the UK saying, cool, blimey, obviously this is a red top, cool, blimey, we're hotter than Marbella. And it's a thing to be, oh, it's going to be great climate change because we're going to have beaches. We're going to have the beaches, the English Riviera. We don't have to go over to Europe for our holidays. But it is concerning because there is, you know, suntans aside, this is going to be a real issue and a real problem. And some of the media reporting on this has been climate rebellion, just stop oil, or we're going to have a bumper summer, despite the fact that we've never had such a bad winter, and not putting two and two together.
Yeah, well, when you go down to the beach, look at how dead it is. Look at how much everything is dying. I mean, this is the Atlantic Ocean, the North Atlantic, is in a persistent heat wave. The temperatures are way above they've ever been. And the ecosystems that live in it and provide us with oxygen and everything else, they can't adapt that quick to the temperature changes. I mean, here in where I am, we've got Japanese oysters that are starting to thrive from a project that failed 20 years ago. So you've got, you know, Japanese oysters thriving where the mussel beds once were, but they're not so tasty. So the locals don't necessarily want to start serving them in the tapas bars. You know, it comes down to all these things that do actually touch your lives in one way or another. And ultimately they become very serious. At the moment, we're just noticing them.
What can people, give me I'll let you get off to a tapas bar because you've mentioned it three times now. So you're obviously dying for a good, and you're in Galicia, which is like, you know, the pulpo up there, as you know. The pulpo better not be endangered because obviously that's the major thing of Galicia. But what are the main parts that I can do, that people listening can do? I mean, obviously go out and buy the book for a start, but what else can they do?
Be aware. I think, you know, obviously try and fly less, cut your carbon emissions. Yeah, that's all great. But it's really about listening to what politicians are saying. When they say they're going to issue more oil and gas licenses, speak about it, talk to your friends about it, say what they think, try and make the case for why we should stop doing that. We've got renewables. We need to invest in renewables. If we put the same amount of subsidies into renewables that we put into fossil fuels, we would see the technology spiral, and we would have that clean energy, cheap, clean, renewable source of energy that we actually want. So I think be aware, talk about it with people, make it a national conversation. And look for it when you're voting as well.
The book is called Cop Out, How Governments Have Failed the People on Climate, an insider's view of climate change conferences from Paris to Dubai. It's by Nick Breeze. Nick, if people want to find you online, you mentioned there's a podcast, so here's your 20 seconds of abashed self-promotion.
Okay, well, if you Google Nick Breeze Climate Gen or on any podcast channel or YouTube, you can see my ongoing series of interviews with everyone from the head of the UN to the head of NASA to the head of the Met Office to scientists all over the world and psychologists and everyone involved in this field. So
the book is called Cop Out. It's by Nick Breeze. It will be available as to order via our own virtual bookstore. Nick, enjoy the rest of your day in Galicia. Please go forth and enjoy that tapper as well, which I knew you mentioned several times. Nick Breeze, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jonas.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.